This is MJ. I'm an author, I'm an artist, I'm an analyzer. You can find all my work at MJMuñoz.com. Welcome to Swinging Through Comics, where I talk about comic books and manga and what they mean to me and how good they are and other things. I think it's going to be a fun and wild ride, so why don't you join me as I'm swinging through comics. So, Comedo Chapter 2.1 was very good. It gave us a lot more on the lore, and it gave us a lot of insight into Kamino's character, and I'm going to leave aside the lore stuff for now, and hopefully I'll talk about it more in the next episode, because right now I want to focus on the story content, and really, this episode told a character story of Kamina, and it looks like the next part of the chapter will be transitioning into kind of a, maybe academy thing or whatever, where he's learning Dragon Fist Ryu Kendo, or Ryu, I don't know, something or other, but he'll be learning that technique and whatever that is, and he's going to be learning about being a, you know, dragon warrior, dragon operator. I'm not even 100% sure, but there's this interesting collectivist way of raising the children, and I don't know. I don't want to get sidetracked talking about that, but specifically what I'm interested in is the loneliness and the isolation that Kamina feels, and he feels lonely and isolated from his fellow hatchlings because he is different from them. He's unique from them, and that troubles him in various ways. One, he physically cannot do all the things that they can do. His body's not the same. It's not built the same. Therefore, it's not equipped to do the same sorts of feats, the same sorts of things that they do under normal circumstances. For example, one thing they do is they use their tails, their long tails, which his is like a fourth of, he says a quarter, which I felt a little bit, like too technical, too English derived, but I don't know anything about Japanese language or, you know, Chinese or, you know, Eastern languages to say that they wouldn't have a term like a quarter inch or like a quarter. You know, my tail's a quarter their size. It sounded a little odd to me, but it definitely could be very accurate to the culture and the time and place. And I may be just showcasing my ignorance there. So, anyway, besides that feeling a little bit odd to me, you know, the point that he was making to his mother about his tail being shorter and, you know, him not having the full scales like he should have and whatever, him basically saying all these things to highlight his differences and the fact that he wishes, you know, he had two hands, like his left hand, two dragonish hands, that he just really doesn't feel like he can match up to these other guys. And there's even a little moment when he's a baby, and Lazeri's brother is there with him as a baby, and he kind of attacks him. He kind of scratches at him or grabs at him in an interesting way because he's, I don't know if he's upset or anyway, he might just be doing a random baby things. Babies scratch themselves, they scratch other people, they'll pull your hair off, they'll pull your ears off, they'll rip earrings out of your ears if you're wearing earrings. They'll do all sorts of stuff just because they don't know any better and they don't really know their own strength. But, what's his name? Goon? I can't remember his name. I'm going to flub it right now. Lazeri's little brother, he has these issues, or whatever. He has this negative interaction with Kamina, and then we see Kamina in, like, this collective thing where all the little dragon babies who hatched out are getting their dragon's milk, and which is like fruit juice, basically, from these pulse roots, mashed up with bits of the pulp in there, too, I guess. It's, you know, not heavily filtered out or anything like that. And he's got, like, he's trying to get into the circle to eat that stuff or drink that stuff, and they're not really letting him in. They're kind of boxing him out. I don't know if it's because their horns, their scales, their tails. I don't exactly know what's going on, but he feels isolated. And later on, they're doing tail wrestling, which is adorable. And he tries to wrestle, and he's wagging his tail around, early, waving it around, whirling it around, I guess is the right word. And he's not able to use it properly to tail wrestle, because his tail is so much shorter, and then they kind of ignore him, then he goes and lays down as, like, a little, you know, baby toddler guy, and, like, seemingly cries himself to sleep, and that's really sad, and that's just the start of it. I forgot one more detail from when he was a baby, I guess, if not a toddler. Kamina was protected from this fangweasel, so they have, like, real animals there, too, okay? Anyway, he's protected from this fangweasel by this divine wind, which only his mother and other dragons could see. How do I know that? Because Shiguru was there, and your girl Shiguru could not see the wolf, demi-wolf lady, she could not see this divine wind, and she was like, oh, you dragons, you can see the wind of change, the wind of birth, the wind of harvest, the wind of whatever, the wind of some young moon, and, you know, I can't, but, you know, I trust you, and I believe in you and your winds, whether they be upper or lower winds, and I certainly heed them. And that was a bathroom joke. Sorry, I don't know why I did that. Anyway, so that was interesting. So that's another interesting thing to feature or to talk about. And then also, either his left hand, his dragon hand, is just super strong all the time and it's uncontrollable, or it's super effective against these shells of this fruit or thing. I don't remember the fruits having a shell on them, but he is holding a shell, or he's holding a shell of, I believe it's a pulse fruit, I believe, but I'm not 100% sure, and he just crushes it. Rolling in, spin, win, turn, crush it. That's what he does to this shell, and his mother remarks, oh my goodness, not even an adult dragon can crush these things easily, and you did it with such ease. But then again, when he's like playing with other kids, as far as we know, he never hurts them. At one point, we see him trying to part some of his, you know, his crush mates or whatever that he was born with, and he's unable to because they're too much in the way or whatever, and he just can't part them. You would think if he's super strong all the time and it's uncontrollable that he would have accidentally hurt one of them, but it appears he didn't. So I'm wondering if maybe there's something about these shells that he's specifically super strong against, or he's super effective against them, and I don't really know what to make of that. Also, we see when he's an older boy, 10 years old or something like that, he is falling off of a tree on purpose. He's falling down a tree, and he uses the hand, the left hand, the dragon hand, to clutch at the tree, and he does with some success. He doesn't break his nails, which I would think he would, naturally. It's a nasty thing to think about, but maybe it's because it's super strong, but also he didn't gouge into the tree and, like, break off a chunk and fall. He just, like, lost his grip, so I think that dragon hand is, like, situationally strong, or it's specifically super effective against a certain thing, or a certain class of item, object, whatever, and we do not yet know what that thing is that it's super effective against. So we'll see what happens with that in the future. But that's just like setting context for the character and for his struggles and for where he is. And anyway, so what I'm really getting at is at the end, the climax is his mother sends him off. It's really adorable. She gives him these boots. There's like kind of like sandal, like knee-high boots that are meant to protect his knees, but they would also protect his feet for the most part. That are made from scales that his grandfather sloughed off as a kid, and I guess these dragon scales have such a long half-life that he's still able to use them as a boy. He's like a, you know, 10 or 12-year-old boy, whatever he is, at this time, and they've lasted for so much longer because this is his granddaughter's child. I think this is his great-granddaughter, or Kamuna is technically his great-grandson, I believe is what it is. So that's, who knows how long these dragon lifespans are. In the Bible, originally people were having kids in their, like, 600s, and then eventually, after the Tower of Babel, or after the Flood, I think it was more after the Tower of Babel, they started having them at, like, the youngest I can think of off the top of my head is 65 in the Book of Genesis. Anyway, so, guys, keep it down, almost done. Anyway, and so that's interesting to me, and it, you know, leads to a lot of speculation, and he gets this really cool armor thing with that, like, engraving or weaving or whatever they call it, the spellbinding thing that the dragons can do with certain items. His mother is not very good at it, but she does the best she can, and it's supposed to, she gives him this thing that goes over his chest, kind of, and it's to protect his heart. What does that mean, protect his heart? I don't know, maybe she means literally protect his heart, because he doesn't have the hard dragon scales and the horns and stuff of a dragon to make him, you know, less vulnerable to things. And she says that that's what that's for. So, anyway, interesting. And then he goes off to do his Ryu Kendo or whatever it is, his Dragon Fist lessons. And he's, like, very much, he has this little interaction with Lasseri, and he's very much, like, doubtful of himself. But Lasseri assures him that there's things that only he can do. And he kind of feels hopeful after he had doubted himself so much as he's going to, like, climb this mountain, it looks like, with these other dragon guys and gals, I think, of his age, who are going up to ascend this, to this school, to this sanctuary, to this, I don't know what, to do something and start learning this dragon-specific skill. And it's interesting. He looks so human, but his mother tells him he's a dragon just like everybody else. And it's really interesting. Yeah. So we'll see where it goes, but I'm definitely intrigued, and I'm loving the story so far, and the artwork is absolutely amazing and beautiful. So thank you so much for your time and attention. You can find all my work at mjmunoz.com. Everything I do is cataloged over there. I'm writing, I'm reading, I'm analyzing stuff. I'm talking about things beyond comic books and manga. I'm talking about tokusatsu. I'm talking about my own books. I'm talking about classic and modern children's literature, middle grade novels. And I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff over there. You can go, basically there's something new for you to check out every single day, and you can enjoy it. And you can also be subscribed there. And subscribe to me everywhere, like my stuff, share my stuff, tell others about it, help me grow, of course, help me grow my channel, help me grow my platform out here in the world where I'm trying to talk about stories that I value and write stories that people will value as well.